Hello, and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Tal Mandelbaum Ben Moshe. Hello. Today, we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about what's going to happen. Lately, there's a lot of talk about the Day of Judgment in the media and other places, and always when there's talk about the Day of Judgment and what it says about it in the Bible, we see that the people of Israel have a central role in it. We'd like to find out a bit more about it. Be with us, Tal, please. Yeah, we see that there is a growing feeling of pressure and instability in the world, and also here in Israel. We feel that there's a kind of an ongoing deterioration, discontent with the entire situation, and so on. And today we'd really like to understand, how is this all related to the times that we live in? Are we really living in these special times that the writings are talking about? I read about a state called the Days of the Messiah, which is a certain period that symbolizes the end of the exile, the end of days, in which the people of Israel will be in a moral, cultural, economical decline. Can we say that this is what's happening now? Can we say this about Israel? No. The period called the Days of the Messiah, it's for those who yearn for the Messiah. The force that pulls a person out of his ego in order to reach connection with and love for others. And therefore, we're not talking about those people that are in pursuit of their different corporeal lusts and so on. But we're talking only about those people that want to improve, that want to reach love and bestowal. So the Messiah is a pulling force from the Hebrew word limshoch, to pull. Yes, the Messiah is a force that pulls a person out of his ego and into the quality of bestowal and love. So why did the writings actually talk about a time in which the people of Israel will be in a cultural and moral decline if you're talking about people that aspire for something so exalted and spiritual? Why in those times the people of Israel are in decline? We're in such a low because our ego wants too much and we're not getting what we think that we deserve. So it's a completely different kind of low point, decline. We're at a low point in terms of our ego that I want to swallow up the entire world and I really can't. Even though that actually we were never this well off. But really in Israel we see many people that are really discontent with the growing corruption and the problems in education, many things that are accumulating. But what are they themselves doing in order for it not to happen? So my question is this darkness a sign that we're all at the entrance to something positive, a good period, that this darkness is like before the rise of dawn? No, because it's not darkness. Our darkness is because I don't get enough. So what light am I actually expecting? To have a few more millions, some more freedom, more of this, more of that? So it's not the same darkness. The light of the Messiah, it's a force that pulls. Mashiach, Messiah, from the word limshoch, to pull. That pulls me from my ego to love of others. Does anyone think of this as the light? So when is the Spirit supposed to come? Only when we'll want it to come, then it will come. In the meantime, we don't want it. And in general, to the contrary, we're running away from it. What's actually supposed to happen in a person for him to start wanting this? What kind of change? A very big change has to come to the people of Israel through inner pressures, through external pressures, for the people of Israel to understand what their historical destiny is, what is their role toward humanity, culturally wise, educationally. The main thing is the education of the people, something that we completely disregard, that we take no care of. We have no ministry of education. It's somehow the ministry for the acquisition of knowledge, but that's it. and therefore we're not advancing in the right direction at all. So why in all the prophecies and the stories about the end of days and the war of Armageddon does Israel have such a central role? Because this is how it is, according to the method of the wisdom of Kabbalah, which is the basis for all the methods and religions, and it talks about it. How could humanity discover or feel or talk about it were it not for the wisdom of Kabbalah? So what does the wisdom of Kabbalah say about this? Why do the people of Israel have a central role in this process of the end of days and so on? Because Israel, it's a mini model of the entire world. That in ancient Babylon, Abraham, one of the priests of the Babylonians, he saw that all of Babylon is going through a crisis, and that this entire crisis is a result of the growing ego. And he discovered that there is a possibility to draw a special force from nature, which is the force of connection and love. Otherwise, all these Babylonians will simply kill each other, will eat each other alive, as it says in the Torah. And therefore, he called out to all the Babylonians, and back then, in those times, all the nations and different small groups that later on turned into the modern nations lived there, and they came to him, representatives, well, not representatives, but those that understood, those from all those small nations that understood that what he's saying is right, that this is the Savior. And he made a group out of them called Israel, literally meaning those aimed straight at the upper force. So Israel is all in all a sum total of the connection of all nations in one group. And Abraham united them in a way of love covers for all crimes and brought them to brotherly love. And this is actually the foundation for the people of Israel that he built back then. Therefore, he's called the father of the nation. And this is the foundation for all of the future humanity, future mankind that has to reach the same form. And therefore, the people of Israel, they are a mini-model of the whole of humanity. And what happens with the people of Israel happens also with the whole of humanity, for better and for worse. And therefore, all of humanity is pressuring the people of Israel. They don't exactly know what to demand of them, but the pressure's there. And to the contrary, if Israel wants to get along with everyone, then they have to show the correct example to all of humanity, and then humanity will follow the corrected Israel and will also reach correction. I want to repeat the question again. The question was, if so, why does Israel take up such a central place in all of these descriptions of the end of days, the day of judgment? Why are they the key player here in all the writings? Why? It's clear that if we correctly relate to the day of judgment and we correct ourselves, the entire world would be corrected. And you don't have to tell everyone about it. You don't have to tell all the people in the world about it. Only the people of Israel have to know about this. Okay, everyone talks nowadays about the Day of Judgment, not only here in Israel. There are different countries that prepare themselves in different ways, building bunkers, arming themselves, and so on. Now, let's focus only on Israel. How does Israel, as a country, have to prepare itself for all of these scenarios? The State of Israel has to begin giving the correct education to all of its citizens and to publicize this method both within the country, outside of the country, and in general to the rest of the world. Once we explain this, we circulate this intensively, the entire world will calm down. Correct education, what do you mean by that? Love another as thyself. And from that, love the Creator, your God. Which means what? Is it religious? Is this a religious kind of education? This has nothing to do with religion or philosophy or anything else. It's above everything. No religion is based on love, but only on competition and hate. So what does it mean that from love of others we'll reach love of the Creator? That if we learn how to reach love of others, for which I have to rise above my own ego and to connect with others as one man and one heart, then from this correct connection between us, we can also reach the revelation of the Creator and love of the Creator, the upper force, the upper essence that's up ahead. Can we say that it's the force that ties us together, that connects us, organizes us, that wants for us to reach equivalence of form with it, meaning for us to resemble it? This force is in bestowal and love, and through this teaching and through the corrections of our relations, we also reach the same quality of love and bestowal. So this group that you talked about that represents a microcosmos of humanity, that's today in different struggles, everyone thinks about himself. Today Israel are the worst, because all the collisions, outbursts, strife that exists in the people of Israel, it's an anti-example of what we're supposed to be. I read about this concept called the decline of the generations. What is it? That from generation to generation, we're becoming more egoistic, because this is how the engine that exists in mankind works, that our ego is developing more and more every time. And if we don't proceed it with our correction, then we become ever worse. More egoistic necessarily means worse, of course, where everyone thinks more and more about themselves. So by this, we're moving away from the correct society, because in essence, society should be like all the rest of the parts of nature, united in one system, and some kind of mutual relations between us. Today, the more we investigate and research nature, we see that nature as a whole is good and integral, connected. It's all as one system. So our development as human beings is toward a worse and worse state. Of course, we're the worst in nature. Not only that we're the worst, but you're saying that from moment to moment, from generation to generation, man is becoming more egoistic. Yes. So the deterioration of generations is a state where we deteriorate to a more and more egoistic state, unless we correct ourselves. What do you mean by correction? Correction meaning that this entire egoistic desire that's growing in us, we use it in order to benefit each other. What do you mean? I understand that man's ego is growing and growing, and therefore there is the decline of generations. So we can turn it into an ascent. How? Through the correct kind of education. That'll do what with that growing ego? This education is one of love another as thyself, until we reach love of others. But how can you come to me who's an egoist and tell me to love others? You said that our development, that's called the decline of the generations, is that man's ego grows more and more, and that's bad because we're reaching an ever worse state. This I understand. But you said that this decline that's only going growing, it's possible to turn it into an ascent. I said, how? You said by correcting man's egoistic force. How? By love of others. But if in my development I'm becoming more and more egoistic, then the wise Dr. Lightman will come to me or another Kabbalist and will tell me, look, you have to start loving others, but I'm an egoist. I can't hear what you're saying. Therefore, if you don't want to listen to the wise Dr. Lightman, I'm not saying that I don't want to, I simply can't. Then come blows, strong, severe blows, different kinds of torments that teach you that you have no choice, but that you have to correct your nature. Isn't that what's going on now? Because we feel a lot of pressure and suffering. It's not enough yet. Still, it's insufficient in order for the people to say, okay, enough. We have to get out of this. The question is, are we already in a period where it's supposed to happen? Yes, according to the wisdom of Kabbalah, we're in a time in which we do understand that this way the world can't keep on going and there's no use to our existence. We're trying to find the meaning of life, the purpose of life, a goal in life. What are we living for? We have no answers for this. Nature is advancing us towards something that we see as an abyss, as the end. And if we want to be saved from it, then we have to change ourselves. We have to change our attitude. Attitude meaning to change society. And look what we're doing with our society lately. We're completely destroying it. We don't want to have children. Actually, we don't want anything. Just let me live my life for as long as I have left. And that's it. Yeah, there are many hardships appearing in society, in our connections, in services, in all of these places. And I also wanted to ask, there's this description in the Mishnah that in the days of the Messiah, insolence will grow and the face of the generation will be like the face of a dog. Yeah, Be'ikvat de Mashicha, Chutzpah Tizgeh, so it says, as the face of a dog, true. Meaning that the more we advance in our egoistic development, that this is a part of evolution. Our ego is constantly going and growing, and of course, we feel that we're worse. But it doesn't stop us. And this is also how we treat each other, that no one takes anyone else into account, but only himself, only for his own benefit, as if each of us is living on his own and not in a society. And it's as if we don't have to build our country and our nation and the world together. And by this, we're destroying ourselves. It also says that Ben David, this force, comes only to a generation that is entirely guilty or eligible. Right. Why do we have to reach a state where the entire generation is guilty in order to reach this force? Ben David, it is a force that comes from above and corrects us and brings us to the state of the end of correction, where we already rise above our ego and we reach an eternal life. Life in spiritual dimensions and not corporeal. And this force comes only on condition that man does the math, that either he reaches the state and is capable of making the correction on himself, this great big correction. It's called a generation that's entirely virtuous or eligible, meaning pure, or a generation that's guilty, that they have no ability to reach correction, and one way or another, they're in a completely broken situation, state. And then they cry out and receive the force of correction and reach that state too. Meaning from these both points, we reach the same result, where we become corrected, and by this, for the time being, our process comes to an end, and we begin a new process. So all of these descriptions of the different prophecies in our writings, they more or less are directed at our times, these times. In corporeality, we're really in a state where we have all the options. Everything's open before us to really become the generation of the Messiah, the last generation, where we can decide that that's it. We can already pass into this new spiritual state, which is bestowal and love. And in this feeling, we'll start feeling a different dimension of our existence, of the world of reality. There is such an option, and maybe we'll be able to use it. At least Kabbalists, they talk about it in all their books. And we, as a group of Kabbalists that are studying this, we also circulate it as much as we can. What does the wisdom of Kabbalah say about the war of Armageddon? It's a war between two forces, good and bad, that takes place in each and every person in order to realize the correction. It's not about airplanes, tanks, missiles, and so on and so forth, that they start a war between them. No. We're talking about an inner war between the egoistic and altruistic forces, between the inner light and darkness in a person. The main thing is that people have to decide what to do. It's not that the bombs will determine anything. Here too, again, there is a description that everyone will come to fight Israel. What does it mean? Because Israel are responsible for this entire state, because they have to start the correction and they're not doing it. We talked about it on many of our shows. And therefore, all of these wars are going to be around Israel, both spiritually wise and also in corporeality. Can you explain this again? That because we have to lead the world to correction, to identify with the upper force, we meaning Israel. So around us, there will be all the pressure and wars, both corporeally and also spiritually. What is a spiritual war? A spiritual war is that the spiritual forces will help us reach the correct decision, the request for the force of correction called the Messiah, Mashiach in Hebrew, from the word limshoch, to pull, that pulls mankind from its ego to the degree of love, bestowal, and connection. How does this inner process influence what's going on in the corporeal world? The world is a result of our inner desire. Okay, and that right now we're seeing a broken world with wars. We make it this way. We're depicting it this way in our broken vessels. We'll correct ourselves and we'll truly see a beautiful, eternal, perfect, flourishing world with a great vision and a beautiful perspective. All the people in the world have to make this correction. All the people in the world. And not only people, but also the still, the vegetative, and the animate. As it says, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb. It's all up to people. It depends on the measure to which we supplement each other. When I asked you how should Israel prepare itself for the Day of Judgment, you talked about education. You didn't talk about the military, weapons, and so on, but education, that this is where the positive change will come from. Yeah. The Ministry of Education declared this year as the year of unity. Is this direction of unity the direction that you're aiming at? What does it mean that the change has to come from education? Of course. Only, unfortunately, I can say that the Ministry of Education has no plan that's sustainable, that will lead to unity and practice. You're saying there are the plans and there's life. They can't. Where will they take this true real plan from for it to really work? So what are the tools? What are the means that can really bring us unity? Because you're saying that even if we'll want to and we'll declare that this is a year of unity and so on and we'll do different things, I feel that you're skeptical of whether we'll have unity at the end of the year. So my question is, what are the means, what are the tools that we're not familiar with today that can really lead us to unity, that can really make our life better? It won't happen. There are no people that know what unity means, by what upper forces is it achieved, because it's against our own nature. Even looking at children that are instinctively a part of nature, they're egoists. They fight all the time. They're quarreling all the time. And the grown-ups do the same, only by more dangerous means. So neither these nor those can teach each other what has to be done. So why do you pin your hopes on education? Because besides education, you don't need anything else at all. Only I don't mean the education given by the Ministry of Education, but an education that will come from the people that are engaged in the wisdom of Kabbalah. And what will it innovate, this education? The special thing about this education is that it awakens the upper force, the inner force that exists in nature and sustains it in an integral way in all of its parts, in all the parts of the system. And so we also need for this force to influence people, especially Israel, and especially the children, and then we'll see a generation that is truly revived. Dr. Lightman, I see that our time's almost up. So, Tal, last question. First of all, it's really exciting. As a mother, I'm truly yearning to give all the children this thing. So, maybe a tip for the parents, for people, how can they take a small step in this direction? They have to take as much interest as possible in the wisdom of Kabbalah that talks about the correction of man and the correction of the world. And the more we all know about it, and especially the people of Israel in the land of Israel, we'll be able to save ourselves and our children and bring the entire world to the desired correction. Amen. Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. Thank you, Tal. Thank you for joining us. Until next time, all the best.